Hi, thanks for joining us for the Visual Studio launch. My name is Tim Heuer. I'm one of the program managers on the Windows Developer Experience, focusing on the XAML platform. I'm excited today to show you some of the great tooling features that we've worked with Visual Studio and some of the platform features that you can use to make your apps on Windows 8 perform very well. Okay, so what I want to show you today is some of the new features in Windows 8.1 in the XAML platform that enable you to write better performing applications and how we created some great tooling on top of those features. So what we're going to build real quickly is a movie viewer app of listing titles for various movies and being able to share some of that information out. So dealing with movies, we have usually a large list of items. In this case, I have about 500 items, and we want to make sure that we deliver a great performing application for our end users across all devices, regardless of the power of the machine. So let's start by taking a look at what we have in the main page here. So basically what I have here is a grid view, and this grid view is going to show DVD box art and the title of movies and some of the ratings. And so we're binding that to this collection here called Movies by Rating. We can see that that's up here, this collection view source, Movies by Rating. And what we're going to do first is we want to make sure that we actually load that data up. Now, I have some movie data here that's fairly static. It doesn't come from a web service, but ideally it would come from a web service here. We're just going to fake that here for now. So I'm going into my main page here, and in the loaded event, I'm actually just going to start setting the data up here. And what I've done is I have that collection view source, and I'm setting the source to a link query that is actually a grouping query. I want to group it by rating information, and I've chosen to filter out not rated videos here. So real quickly, by just showing us what the start of the user interface will look like, we can see that we have this movie catalog that has these various templated information here, and it has box art, a title, a subtitle, ratings, and this button to add to your movie queue. If we look back at that template that we're using here, that's where this information is, you can see that we have a grid, and we have about maybe like six or seven elements here that are all using some binding information. So I'm using this image here, and one of the performance features that we have for you available is that when you know the size of the image that you want to display, you really should be using this decode pixel height and width property so that you're not taking highest resolution images and decoding them, but only displaying them in small height and width sizes. And then here we have the other boxes, and we have, again, you can see the various binding statements that we have here. Now, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we have a very good performing application experience for the end user. Now, if we were on a low-powered machine, and I'm making the same mistake every developer will make, is I'm on a high-powered machine, and I'm assuming that everyone will have a high-powered machine, and we should not assume that. So on a low-powered machine, if we were to run this application, we have all this information, we have lots of data, and if the user were to scroll, you can kind of see it here, where the information is not rendering as quickly and keeping up to date. So we've done a couple things to enable a better experience around that for end users. And one of the first things that you can very quickly add to your grid view, if we find our grid view here, is you can add a new property called show scrolling placeholders and set that to true. And in fact, this is the default. So what you saw was kind of the default experience, in where if we're not able to render that item as quickly enough, we will show a placeholder, essentially a gray rectangle, that indicates to the user that there is some content there, and that, you know, it will eventually be filled with real data. So that's one simple property you can do to improve some perceived performance in your application. But we want to do better, and we know we can do better. So we've added a couple more capabilities for you, the app developer, to take advantage of. The main one is this new event called Container Content Changing. And I encourage you to take a look at our performance documentation here that explains this event in detail. And effectively what this event does is it allows you to tap into the rendering pipeline of the list as the items are being rendered and virtualized and all of that good information. It allows you to describe to our rendering engine what content that you want to be rendered at what phase. And I can describe these phases in this event. This event is basically a mechanism of calling back, and you say, hey, render this content and then call me back if you have time. And if you have time, go ahead and render this additional content. So I encourage you to take a look at the container content changing event. Now, one of the things that we worked with Visual Studio to do is to support behaviors. And if you're a XAML developer, you know all about behaviors. And so we felt that this one area of performance was critical to us. And if we were going to continue to use binding and behaviors, we wanted to make sure we had a good experience around this container content changing event. So what I'm going to do first is turn this show scrolling placeholders event to false. Because we're now going to control what our placeholders effectively are in these phases. I'm going to go ahead and open up my main page in Blend to show you the behavior experience that we worked with Visual Studio 2013 around this particular feature. So I have my grid here, and this is my grid view. And what we want to do is we want to get to the data templates. Right click and say Edit Additional Templates, Edit Generated Items, and edit the current template. That gets me into the editing view here. And so that's the individual item we can expand. And you can see I have the image, and here's the first text block and the rating, etc. So what I can do now is over in here in Visual Studio, I can choose behaviors. And you'll notice there's a new behavior here called the incremental update behavior. And that is directly tied into this container content changing event and allows you to use a declarative mechanism to describe the phases. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to drag this incremental behavior to the image, to the area over here, the object timeline, or I could have dragged it onto the art surface, but I just want to make sure that you're explicitly seeing where I'm putting it. And you can see over here that it lights up what the properties are. And by default, the phase is the first phase. And that's okay. I want the image, the box art. That's okay. I'll make that the first phase. Now I want the title, as I mentioned, the title is also important, so I'm going to use that as the default for the first phase. The subtitle, if somebody's panning really fast, they're not going to really read that much, so that's okay for me to change to the second phase. And so by me saying phase two, that's basically telling the rendering engine, if you have enough time, call me back and then go ahead and render this particular element. The rating is and the button are less important to me as an end user as I'm panning, so I'm going to change those to phase three. Those are going to be the least in priority. So as I've completed this, now I've got this behavior attached to all of my elements in my data template describing which element that I want to render during which phase. Now, if we go back to Visual Studio, we can kind of refresh and we can see what the markup that was declared there. So you can see here's my data template now. And on the image, I've declared this incremental update behavior. And again, by default, it's phase one, but I can go ahead and be explicit if I wanted to as well. You can see a great IntelliSense experience from Visual Studio as well. And then I have that incremental update behavior on all the other elements in my data template. Now what that does is, and again, I'm making the classic developer mistake of working on a high-powered machine, but if you were to remote deploy this to a low-powered machine, you would see a noticeable improvement in your in how the content is rendered as the user pans quickly. And I could try to demonstrate this here, and we should not be able to get to those placeholders anymore because we're controlling effectively what the placeholder looks like. And you can see that as I move quickly, that sometimes when it decides, oh, I don't need to render that, or because it's already recycled, we're not seeing those particular elements shown up. So this is a great new behavior to leverage in Visual Studio that, again, is tied to the container content changing event, which if you're doing large lists, you should absolutely be using and take into account the end user's experience on all classes of devices. So let's take this to another step here and demonstrate a couple more features. So we want to, when the user clicks on an item, we want to go ahead and navigate to the details view of that. So what I've done is I've just added some quick code here to say that the title is the item that they clicked, and this is my particular movie object. And I want to navigate to the movie details page, passing in that title as the data context. So let's open the code for that movie details page. And on navigated to, I want to pull out that parameter and set the data context there as the data title. So I'm saying the context for this page is the parameter that was passed in through the navigation, which is the title object here. Now, what I've already set up is some binding here in this view here. So I've got my image. Again, I'm using the decode pixel height and width, and I've got my other things, and I've got some binding set up here. So if we run this application now, and we can see that we can, we forgot to add some properties here to the main page. And in the grid view, I want to make sure that somebody can click it. So I'm going to say item click, and there's that event, and is item click enabled? True. So I'm going to run this. And if I select a movie here, you can see that I have all these other details. So that's great. We were able to complete our navigation. Now, the next thing we want to do is, I think this movie is great, and I want to share it with my friends. So let's go ahead in and add some functionality to be able to do that. The first thing I want to do is add an app bar to my particular page here. So I'm going to go through the document outline here. And as I am on this document outline, you can see that I have the bottom app bar. So I'm going to right-click on there, and I'm going to say Add Command Bar. Command bar is a new control in Windows 8.1 for XAML that provides an app bar with very prescriptive guidance. It has all the keyboarding functionality and all the layout, dynamic sizing and layout that you need. So within the app bar, I have primary commands here, and I'm going to go ahead and add a primary command here. I'm going to add an app bar button. Now, when I go in, and we can go down and actually see this rendered on the artboard here, and that's the default experience there. So I want to go ahead and change that. I want to change the appearance here. I want to change the icon to a different icon here. And we want to make this like a share with our friends. So we'll use this like icon. And you can see that working with Visual Studio, we created a great designer experience around things like app bar button that allow you to visualize and see what the icons are there. So we'll just say, tell the world. So we'll make this button say that. Now, the next thing we want to do is add some functionality to that. Now, I want to be able to either share maybe the movie synopsis of this, or I want to be able to share the picture of the movie here. So let me go back, and so you can see that this what we just did, we added this app bar button here. And let me use the editor here to show you some other features here. I'm going to add a flyout to our button here. And in particular, I'm going to add a menu flyout. Now, as I add this menu flyout, again, I can use the Visual Studio tools. You can see I have a great experience that allows me to dynamically add these, and I can say I want to add a menu flyout. We can even go back to the design view and see how this is looking here. So I can add a menu flyout. We'll call this one Box Art Share, and we'll say Box Art, and we can add another one. And we'll call this one Synopsis Share. And we'll add the text Movie Synopsis. And now we're going to add some quick events to these. So let's go ahead and just quickly go to the events here. And so on Box Art Share, I'm going to go ahead and click. And I'm going to set some values that I know about first. And we'll get back to these in a little bit here. So I'm going to say yes, we're sharing the box art there, and I can go back to the synopsis one and again add a similar event there, but just setting a different flag and calling this the same function. Now we want to share the information here, so what we can do is we can hook up the ability to hook up to the Windows share contract. So we're going to add some quick code here that gets a handle to the data transfer manager and then says, hey, when you ever have data requested, go ahead and call this function. Let's go ahead and implement that function here. And we're just going to add some quick code here to actually populate the data of that function. And so what I do is when the data is requested, I'm saying, okay, give me the arguments of that data. I'm going to set some properties, the title and description. And if I'm not sharing box art, meaning I'm actually sharing the movie synopsis, go ahead and populate the text of that movie. So I can save this, and if we run this here, and we bring up our app bar and say movie synopsis, you can see that I've implemented the share contract here, and I can share to a program, and you can see that I've pre-populated that based on that. So it's great. We had a great tooling experience around creating those menus and invoking them. But what if I wanted to share the actual image of the box art? Well, that's very simple. I can do an else condition here, because remember, that's our other condition. And the else condition is going to use this data provider, and I'm going to set a bitmap. You may say, well, how am I going to get a bitmap out of my XAML UI? Well, that's one of the great new features that we added into the platform that was highly requested. I'm going to go ahead and implement this code here. And this is our callback for when the image is requested. And I'm going to put a bunch of code in here that demonstrates how you actually implement the sharing of the XAML UI content. And this is an async method, so we'll declare it as such. And you can see what I'm doing here is I'm doing some of the typical data transfer stuff. I'm requesting a deferral, and this is the meat of my function here. I'm creating what we call a render target bitmap, and that's the new feature in Windows 8.1. And within that, I'm basically saying, hey, I want you to render this element called box art. And if we go back to our view and look at our XAML here, box art happens to be this particular stack panel, which contains the image and the rating. And so this rating is a custom control, and would be pretty hard to get all the details out of that. What we're going to do here is we're using that element called boxArt, and we're rendering that to the bitmap. The rest of this code here is the actual code that's going to get the pixel information and set it to the output of the stream. So eventually we're messing with the pixels, and we're setting those to a stream, and that's what we're setting as the data. So remember, we asked for a bitmap, and we had provided this callback method, which at the core, the main piece I want to demonstrate is this render target bitmap pointing to a XAML UI element tree and then providing that back to the stream. And by doing that, now we have a great mechanism in our app to basically be able to have a great performing experience here without seeing any black or any navigation to black, selecting a movie, seeing an app bar, and providing different options. And I can choose box art, share contract there, and you can see that we've generated the image based on this, and this is only showing a square view, but the rating information is below that as well. Or we could go ahead and share the context, or just the text of that synopsis. Either way, providing two great experiences for the app to be able to implement those capabilities. So that's just a very quick sample of the features that we worked with for you to be able to create pretty rich applications and make sure that you think about performance first and working with Visual Studio, again, to create some of those great tooling experiences on top of those great performance features that we have. So I encourage you to take a look at those, take a look at the container content changing event, as well as the incremental update behavior that we work with Visual Studio to develop. And this should give you a quick sample of how to leverage these features in the app. So thanks for joining me. I hope that you were able to learn some things today. And please be sure to visit the Windows Developer Center at dev.windows.com for more information on how to write apps in XAML.